You're listening to the Message Podcast of High Ridge Church Longview, where our vision is to help you know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and ultimately make a difference. We are so glad that you're here, and we pray that this message impacts your life as you apply the spiritual truths from God's Word in practical ways. Let's listen in.
Hey everybody, welcome to our online church service today. This reminds me so much of the way we kind of had to do it during COVID of having to just talk to a camera. But I just want to say, hey, I appreciate you joining us. Thank you for making us part of your day. I believe that God has something special to speak to you right where you are. And even if we're not gathering together in person, I believe that the Spirit of God is right there with you. And I believe that where God's Spirit is, there is freedom. His presence brings so many amazing things. And so I'm glad that you could just make this a priority of your day. Grab your Bibles if you would. We're going to spend some time in the book of Psalm 65 is where I want to focus my attention as we finish up this year. The reason why we're doing this on video instead of gathering in person is because we believe that one of our biggest faults as a church staff is to work ourselves to death. And so it's really important that we prioritize rest. So let me just say, before we get any farther into God's word, let me just say thank you for being a church that allows us as a staff and for me and my family to prioritize some rest. It's important that we look back on our year, that we say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done. We take a chance to, just like God did on day 7 of creation, we look back and say, hey, this was good, and I'm going to take a second to just rest. And so thank you for being a church that is that's generous enough, that allows us the ability to be able to even do this. And so there are many churches that can't do this. They can't take a Sunday off. But you guys are an amazing church. Let me just say thank you for that. We believe in the power of rest, and I hope that you believe in that too. It's important that you, in this holiday season, make sure that you get a chance, take some time to just rest. And let that be, that might be the only word that you need to hear today, but it's important. God did it, and he did that not because he ran out of strength, not because he ran out of ideas, but he did that as an example to us. He rested and shows that it's important that we rest as well. So thank you for being a church that prioritizes rest. Psalm 65, one of the gifts I got this year was a trapper keeper. You might not have any idea what that is, but this is a big deal to me from someone that grew up not being able to afford the cool stuff. It's really nice when you get into your 40s. I'm almost in my 50s now, but I could finally be able to have some nice things. And this was actually a gift that was given to me. And so I'm getting a chance to use it. And it's awesome. So if you don't have a trapper keeper, be very jealous. Psalm 65. I want to read some of this to you. And this is kind of where the Lord was leading my heart at the end of a year. One of the things I've learned in my life is how to turn the page on one season and how to be expectant for the next page of the next season. It's important that we're able to do that, that we can say, look, let me look back at what happened in this last season. Let me put a bow on that and let's start afresh and anew. And so anytime that you're closing the book on one chapter of your life, anytime that you're closing this season, as we're doing at the end of this year, it's important that we look with expectation on what's coming. And it's also important that we look back and say, okay, Lord, I see what you did there. And I'm believing that because you were there for me, that you're going to be there for me in this next season. So this is a great moment that we can kind of just put a pin in 2024 and then we can welcome in 2025 with great expectations for the things that God is going to do next. I really do hope that you catch my heart on that, that it is important that you have a sense of great expectation for the things of God. It's important that we put our faith and our trust and our hope in the goodness of God's nature and his character. And so Psalm 65 is where I felt led to bring you today. And God's word tells us this: praise awaits you, our God, you who answer prayer. I want to just pause right there for a moment. And if you have a paper Bible like me, you might want to underline those words: you who answer prayer. Get that solidified in your theology. Get it solidified in your life. We serve a God that absolutely answers prayer. It matters when we talk to him, when we pour out our heart to him, when we give him our anxieties and our pressures, and we give him our praise and our joy. It matters that when those things come out in prayer, notice that God is a God who answers prayer. That's critical in the lives of every believer. Otherwise, we feel like we're so distant and disconnected from God that we forget that he is a God that answers prayer. He does answer. Now, that doesn't mean you're always going to get the answer that you want. Come on, somebody. But he does answer. The God who answers prayer. David says, when we were overwhelmed by our sins, look at these next two words, you forgive. Not only does God answer prayer, he forgives. It's important as we look back on the past of this past season in 2024 that we recognize that God is a God of grace, that God still forgives, and we don't have to carry the same sin from one season over into the next season. He answers prayer and he forgives. He says, when we were overwhelmed by our sins, you forgave our transgressions. Blessed are those that you choose. So not only does God answer prayer, not only does he forgive, but he also chooses. And when God chooses people like me and people like you, what does it say? It says, you bring near. I love that I serve a God that doesn't keep me at an arm's length, but because of the blood of Christ, he brings me near. He keeps me close to him. You bring near to live in your courts. I get to live in the presence of God, no longer out there by myself. I'm not disconnected. I'm not alone, but God brings me near to live in your courts. He says, we are filled with good things of your house, of your holy temple. I'm so glad that I get to serve as pastor of a church that I feel like has good things to offer people. It has the presence of God. The goodest thing that we could ever offer people is the power of the presence of God. It says, God, you bring us near, and we're filled with good things that happen when we gather together in your house. It says, you answer us with awesome and righteous deeds. That means God has the power to back it up. It's important that we recognize that not everything is dependent upon me, but I serve a God who is more than able. It says, you answer us, you answer prayer, you choose us, you gather us together. And I love that. You answer us with awesome and righteous deeds. God, our Savior, the hope of all the ends of the earth, who formed the mountains by your power, who stilled the roaring of the seas and the turmoil of the nations, the whole earth is filled with awe at your wonders. Where morning dawns and evening fades, you call forth songs of joy. That's what the Lord is asking for us. We've talked about all the things that God does. Now we recognize that what he's asking for us in response is to praise him. You call forth songs of joy. You care for the land and you water it. You enrich it abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with grain, for so you have ordained it. The original language says, that's what you purposed it for. It's all about what you've done, and everything around us in creation accomplishes your purpose, including us. We have a purpose. It's the reason why God designed us. It's the reason why he put us here, to accomplish his purpose. It says this, and this is the scripture that I was drawn to encourage you the most with at the end of this year. You crown the year with your bounty, and your carts overflow with abundance. I love that. You crown the year with your bounty. Your carts overflow with abundance. It's important to recognize that everything that's good that's happened, all the wonderful blessings in our life are not because we're amazing people. It's because we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. He's the one that's amazing. He crowns the year. Everything that we've experienced this past season is only because of God's grace and his goodness. And there's a reason we have to be thankful as we finish up 2024. I was reminded of a specific New Year's. You know, some of those stick out in my mind as I look back at different parts of my life. And sometimes New Year's Eve was a time of great regret and great shame for the things that I did and the ways that I pushed it and pushed the boundaries and limitations of my sin and my shame. But then there's other times in my life where I look back and I was filled with anxiety and worry about what would come in this next season. One in particular that sticks up in my mind, 24 years ago, was the Y2K New Year's. Now, it wasn't just me that was full of anxiety. The entire world was, because we weren't sure what was going to happen when the clocks rolled over from 1999 to 2000. And some of you guys have no recollection of that. You might have been really little. But for those that lived through it, it was a big deal, especially in the church. And I remember having all kinds of anxiety of what was going to happen when the clock struck midnight. And let me just tell you, when you have that kind of anxiety, the things that kind of come out of human nature are either really bad or really good. And a lot of people turned to Jesus. A lot of people were getting right with God. A lot of people spent that New Year's Eve on their face before the Lord, asking the Lord for help, because we didn't know what, you know, the computer's going to shut down. Was it going to, you know, attack us all? Was power going to shut down? We're going to lose water? Was it going to return to the caveman? We had no idea, no clue. But I remember for myself, I was in Philadelphia, and I was doing a Christian concert with some of my friends, and I just remember thinking, what better place to be than in the presence of God? What better place to be than just worshiping the Lord? Because no matter what happens, I know that God is in control, and I'm just going to worship him. And I remember that was the only thing that took the anxiety of what would happen in the future away, was when I started just worshiping the Lord and telling him, thank you, Lord, it's all about you. It's not about me. And that's a crazy memory that I have. from New Year's. I want to give you a couple of things that we can finish up the year with, things that I think are important to you as we close this chapter of this season. As we remember that as we're reading through God's word, that there's a peace that comes when we realize that it's God who is in control of all things and it's not me. I'm not in control. He's in control. So here's a couple of things I want to leave with you. What, number one, thank God for grace. David starts out this beautiful, beautiful chapter of Psalm 65 by saying, Lord, when we were overwhelmed by our sins, you forgave our transgressions. I love that he begins his praise for that season by saying, Lord, thank you for grace. I'm not going to look back on my year and say, I didn't mess up. I didn't make mistakes. I know I did. But Lord, I thank you for your grace and your forgiveness of my sin. You see, God's grace is an unearned gift that's greater than our struggles, guiding us with hope into the new year. The worst thing that you can possibly do is to take all of your mistakes and compound them over and run them over into next year. I want to encourage you to finish this season with a clean slate before God. And before we go any farther with this day, take a moment, if you would, just ask the Holy Spirit, is there anything in my life that I need to ask for forgiveness for? Anything that I don't have to carry this over into 2025, but I could finish this year with a clean slate before God. I know that he answers my prayer. I know that he's bringing me near. I know that he forgives sin. So I'm going to admit that what I've done was wrong, and I'm going to ask the Lord to wipe my slate clean, to cover it with grace, not because I'm a great person, but because he's a good God. Thank God for grace. Ask for grace if you need it. Here's the second thing I want to make sure that you do that David makes a special note of. Thank God for provision. Thank God for provision. He says, you care for the land and you water it. You enrich it abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water to provide for the people with grain, for so you have ordained it. So not only does God provide for all of creation in order to sustain life, everywhere that we look, the earth is perfectly formed and makes perfect sense so that we can sustain life on this planet. But he also has provided enough for me to keep going. I have everything that I need. And honestly, because I live in America and because we're part of a great church, I have things that, you know, other people in the rest of the world don't even get a chance to get. I have great relationships with people. I've got enough money to know that my next couple of meals are taken care of. I've got a roof over my head. I've got hot water that runs in my house. These are some things that some people live their entire life and never have. Thank God for his provision. It's a good thing. And then the last thing I want to leave you with before we go is to thank God for people. Thank God for people. One of the things I love about the Apostle Paul when he's writing his letters to the church, some of those letters are pretty scathing. I mean, he gets down into people's business. He gets down into the dirt. He's like, this is wrong, that's wrong. This was good, that's not so good. But at the end of all of his letters, one of the signature marks of the Apostle Paul is he always says thank you to the people who have been so important to him along the way. And that's a good testimony for each of us that are following along after Christ to recognize, I didn't get here on my own. I'm here by the grace of God. I'm here because God has provided for me. But I also have a lot of people that have poured into my life that have helped me along the way, those that have been part of my story. Some of those have loved me and encouraged me. Some of those have corrected me and kept me accountable. Those are important things. I love how Paul always finishes those letters by just thanking people. You might remember, you know, he comes up with all these different Greek names and these Hebrew names. You know, some of this is Eucalyptus and Euplerbius and like a bunch of names I can't pronounce. But I want to make sure that as I finish out this season, that I thank God for the people that have been so amazing for me in this season. And I just want you to know that there are way too many that I could ever name personally. But I'm so grateful for the elders of our church that are fantastic men of integrity. I'm thankful that we have unity within our eldership. I believe if you want to grow a healthy church, you better have a healthy foundation. And our healthy foundation is built upon amazing men and their awesome families and how they prioritize the Lord. And they want to lead this church with integrity. I'm so grateful for each of them. And I'm also grateful for our staff. I want to just list them out by name and make sure that you know how amazing it is to have a group of men and women who gather together because they love the Lord and they love you. And all of the things that we've walked through in this past season, all of the wonderful joys and the fantastic wins that we're able to celebrate, the wonderful milestones we've been able to reach, that is not because of me, but I have an amazing team. So I want to just list them out for you. And I want to say a very special thank you to Pastor Doug Casey, who's our executive pastor. He does so much behind the scenes to make sure that this thing keeps up and running. And he's done a fantastic job this past year. I want to say a very special thank you to Pastor Mark Clark, who has been who runs our finances and makes sure that all of our bills are paid. So our lights are on today. We have hot water in the building because he is very good at his job and makes sure that the money and the generosity that people are giving, he makes sure it goes to the right place and that everything that we're responsible for gets taken care of. And he does it with such great integrity. And I'm very, very grateful for him. I want to say a very special thank you to Pastor Chris Englert, who runs our worship. We have the most amazing worship team. We have some of the most amazing volunteers and musicians, singers, songwriters. And Pastor Chris is a fantastic man of God, full of integrity and character. And I love how he has led us into worship. And one of the coolest things about him is this past year, you've seen even less of him on the platform because he's standing right next to me from the floor watching the people that he's trained and raised up, getting a chance to get their feet wet into worship. And I love that he's willing to not just hog the spotlight, but he's saying, I want other people to experience the joy of walking in their gift and fulfilling their purpose like I have. That's a beautiful thing. I love that about him. Paul Holloway, who is taking care of, he's in charge of pastoral care, also running all of our groups. Everything that happens, you know, off of the Sunday platform and discipleship, you know, this guy's responsible for, and I love him and I love his wife, Leanne. They truly do care about you, and he truly is an amazing pastor. And I could not have done the things that we've done in the Rebel Heart series. A lot of that was him. All of the groups, things that are happening, it takes a lot to handle the amount of people that are coming to this church to get discipled and to grow and to be in community with one another. And he's largely responsible for that. Murray Rabenhorst, who is not just one of our pastors, but also one of our elders. And love him and his wife, Claudia. But he's in charge of our outreach, and he makes sure that those that are across the other side of the world, that they still feel connected. He makes sure that they have the money and the resources that they need. We could not be a world-changing church without people like Pastor Murray, and I'm very grateful for his heart, not just for our city, but for the world. And so we have an amazing impact on our world because of people like Pastor Murray. We have Pastor James Williams as well, who runs our men's ministry, a lot of our human resource stuff. He makes sure that we're legal in a lot of ways. He makes sure that that our men are taken care of. And we've built a fantastic men's ministry. We set a course for that a few years back by making sure that we prioritize men as the leaders of their home. And this was a major problem for our church at the beginning, is that we were led by mostly women. And I love the women of this church. They're amazing. But men were getting real lazy. And they were very, very, very capable, but at the same time, not challenged. And Pastor James has been fantastic in gathering those guys together, discipling them, and pushing them out to lead and become the men that God has called them to be. I'm extremely proud of what's happening in our men's ministry. And we also have Pastor Zach Vaught, and if you know him, he was our youth pastor. He's now transferred on into our creative and online ministry, and so we're able to do fantastic things around the globe and with social media and creative because of his leadership. We're so grateful for him and the strides that he's made. He also got to do his very first prophetic ministry this past year, and it was awesome to watch him speak to people that he didn't know and just tell them the things that God had put on his heart. I'm so proud as a spiritual father watching him become all that God has called him to be. I love that. Also, my wife is in charge of women's ministry, and we cannot say thank you enough for the wonderful strides that have happened in women's ministry. Our ladies are awesome, and watching our very first women's conference now become something that's just larger than life. I love that. I love watching the ladies that are connecting to each other. They say you can't have a good women's conference and a good women's ministry unless people are crying. And there's been a lot of tears shed for a lot of wonderful reasons. And I love walking into the room filled with, you know, 400 ladies, and they're all just bawling their eyes out. Normally I'd say something's really, really wrong, but in this case, something was really, really right because of my wife's leadership and the amazing women's leadership team that we have of those ladies connecting with one another and bonding emotionally and then discipling and caring for one another with sisterhood. So overwhelmed by the great things that are happening with some amazing ladies in our church. We have Miss Hannah Williams, who's taking care of our next gen. When Pastor Zach stepped out of youth, Miss Hannah stepped up and has taken over not just our children's ministry, but now over all of our teenagers as well. And let me just say, that is no small task. And she's done this all while being pregnant, expecting with a baby. And I'm overwhelmed to watch her take on so much and to just handle it. She's an amazing warrior of a woman, and I love having her on our team and watching what she's doing with your children and with these amazing young people. She's a fantastic woman of God, and it's a great honor to have her on our team. We've also welcomed Katie Walker in, and she's filled in the role with taking care of a lot of our children. And so she's just such a joy to have around the office and such a joy to watch her take care of these amazing little ones who I do not have the patience for at all. And I love watching her serve the kingdom and serve these little ones with a smile on her face every single day. That's an important thing, that kids see someone with a smile. And it's also important to make sure that children's ministry is full of fun. And that's exactly what we have here. I'm so grateful. I'm not the one that has to bring the fun to children's ministry, but with people like Katie and people like Miss Hannah that's leading in that, I'm very, very grateful for that. We have Ashley Dufault, who was my assistant, now has transitioned on into our creative, a lot of our online stuff, a lot of our communications is done because of her. She's been faithful here from the very beginning. Her and Pastor Mark were the two employees that I started here 9 years ago, and it was just me and Ashley and Pastor Mark, and our staff has grown so much since then, but Ashley really was the hub of almost everything. And so watching her grow and to mature and to offload different parts of her ministry and to become not just a person that everything has to flow through them, but a person now that could teach and train and is able to understand anything and everything about what's happening inside the church because she's been there and done all those jobs by herself. Watching her mature and watching her disciple others, watching her build teams has been a truly an amazing thing. I'm extremely proud of the fantastic and excellent work that Ashley does. I'm also grateful for my own daughter who's transitioned on our team. She was an intern and now has taken over our next gen worship. So our youth are led every single week in fantastic worship with my daughter, Natalie, who's just about to be married as well. That's a whole other subject that we could talk about. But let me just tell you, it's an honor to watch my children honor the Lord. It's a beautiful part of my life to watch them raised to love the church and to love Jesus, to love his people. And watching her lead young people in worship every Wednesday is a huge honor to me and a beautiful part of our staff. We also have Logan Davis, who's added into our team and taken over creative. A lot of the stuff that you see on social media, that's all Logan taking pictures and videos and all these things that people are doing for us as volunteers, collecting all that stuff and then putting out a fantastic social media experience every single week. I love that. I'm grateful for the work that he's done. He's an amazing young man of character and an awesome young man of God. I love to see his future. I think it's a very, very bright one, and I'm grateful to have him on the team. We also have my son, TJ, Tim Jr., who's actually going to be editing this video right now. And so that if you like the things that you're seeing on Sunday morning on the screens and camera work, all the editing stuff, that takes a lot of work for someone to take this stuff and to make somebody like me look pretty good. I love that. And I'm so grateful that because of his work with the camera and because of his understanding of all these things that go into making a really good video, that we're able to sit on our phones and watch something that's not aggravating, that actually works, that sounds pretty decent, that looks good. It's only because of his expertise, and I'm honored to watch my son become all that God has called him to be and to use his gifts for the glory of God. That's a beautiful thing as a father, and I hope that you get to experience that as well for those of you that are parents. We've also added in Heath DeGarmo taking over our safety. I never thought that I would be alive to think that we would have to have people on our staff to keep us safe. But unfortunately, we live in very unsafe times. And when you're part of a growing, a thriving, and a live church that is absolutely taking over the kingdom of darkness in our city, there's a lot of resistance, and there's some drawbacks as well as some amazing opportunities of being on Highway 80. And because we're located in the middle of our city, we're surrounded by people that may not be mentally healthy. And so we've had many experiences with people in our services and walking up to our building and sleeping in our building and doing crazy things around it. And we've needed somebody with Heath's expertise to just keep our people safe. We have a lot of volunteers, a lot of kids, a lot of babies around here. And to have someone that's their entire job is to make sure that everybody's okay. I can sleep better at night knowing that we have somebody like Heath on constant watch over our people. And I'm grateful that he's on our staff. He brings a lot of joy and a lot of common sense to ministry. And I'm grateful to have people like Heath DeGarmo with us. And also we have, and certainly not least, last but not least, is Grace LeMaster, who is my assistant. And she makes my life so much easier. I am not the easiest person to deal with. You may disagree with that. I would love for you to disagree with that, but you'd be wrong. I'm not the easiest person to deal with, but she makes sure that my schedule is right, that I'm able to to actually do the things that I've committed to. She makes sure that that I always am shown in the best light with her honor for me. And I'm very grateful to have somebody like her watching over me and watching my back. She's also in charge of our dream team. So the insane amount of volunteers we have at our church, there are hundreds of volunteers at our church. And at the leadership of all of that is one woman that does an amazing job to make sure that we have everything that we need from all the amazing people that choose to call this home and choose to serve every single week. Like I said, it takes a lot of amazing people to make this happen. And I just want to say from the bottom of my heart to each and every one of you, thank you. Thank you for being the most amazing staff that I could ever possibly hope for or imagine to have. It feels amazing to know that I'm not doing this alone. There's an awesome team around me. And so to all of you who are watching, let me just say, you have an amazing church staff. And I'm so glad that because of your generosity, because of your participation, and we can give them a chance to take a break, give them a chance to catch their breath, give them a chance to rest. Because we believe that what's going to happen in the next season is nothing short of amazing. So let me say from all of us to all of you, I hope you've had a Merry Christmas. I hope you have the most amazing New Year that you've ever had. May God bless you. May He keep you as the apple of His eye. I pray that you've closed the door on 2024 and you're walking into a new season of grace and favor and prosperity and blessing, because God is waiting to use you on the other side of this next season to do incredible things for the kingdom of God. I love you. Hope you have an amazing week. God bless.
Thank you so much for listening in today. Our prayer is that you are encouraged and strengthened by the message. If you haven't done so yet, be sure to subscribe to this podcast and leave us a review wherever you're listening. If you want to be a part of our online community, connect with us through Facebook or Instagram with the handle @HighRidgeLV, or you can check out our website at highridgelv.com. Lastly, if this ministry has impacted your life and you'd like to support its work, visit highridgelv.com/give. We appreciate your support, and we're believing with you today for God's best in your life. Have an incredible week, and we will see you next time.